You're listening to DraftKings Network.
If you like to make your NFL games a little bit more interesting, you've come to the right place. It's the Even Money Podcast with Ross Tucker and Steve Fezzik.
Yeah, Vegas, baby, Vegas. It is the Even Money Podcast. We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman. Most of you know that. Five teams over the course of 7 years. Thank goodness. Gave me the opportunity to have the different media gigs, calling games for the Eagles or CBS or Westwood One, in addition to all the other media stuff I do, and a bunch of podcasts. Ross Tucker Football Podcast is daily during the season, three times a week in the off season. Jason McCourty was excellent on Monday's episode, as well as me diving in to all the latest free agency news. There has been a lot, which, by the way, is one of the things we're going to talk about today on this show, because Steve Fezzik, my co-host, the star of the show, he has made several adjustments to his season win totals, including two significant ones, as I perused his vaunted spreadsheet earlier this morning. You can check me out on social media at Ross Tucker NFL. Love those of you that do. Of course, we are at Ross Tucker Pod. More and more people, check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL, which is awesome. We love that. We love those of you that check out Steve on social media at Fezzik Sports and only at Fezzik Sports. And as a reminder, there's little things you can do to be able to ask Steve a question pretty much any week on this show, including just rating and reviewing the show. Just do a 5-star review, talk about why you like it, take a screenshot of it, send it to me, ross@rostucker.com, and your email to Steve with your wonderful question will go to the top of the queue. The top of the queue for us today, Steve, got to be the NCAA tournament. Got to be March Madness. I know we talked last week a little bit about what to do when the bracket comes out, in addition to hearing about your intramural basketball skills and your days in insurance. Today, though, the brackets are out, Steve. I mean, everything came out Sunday. People are fired up. You've got the whatever the weird games that tonight and tomorrow night with the 68 teams to get to 64 for Thursday. So a lot of people right now, they've got their brackets. They're in their pools. What do they need to know? What do they need to not do? Let's give these people some advice.
Well, number one, don't follow who the committee likes, because Auburn was a number four, and they probably should have been a two or at worst a three. Just really quick, I don't understand why. Remember when you have a rough draft, when you have an essay, Ross, and then like maybe you have a friend read it for like obvious mistakes and the like? Why doesn't the committee just do this, like, all right, we're done Saturday night, here's our draft, boom, we're making Auburn a four, and then someone can tell them, oh no, that's like sharp fifth grader knows that's not correct to put them in Connecticut. But that's irrelevant. We want to make money. Bracket-wise, depends how big the bracket is. Basic strategy, head-to-head, if I want to beat Ross Tucker, I'm taking every favorite the whole way. And I have an optimal bracket. I will be favored to win against anybody head-to-head. Now, when there's 10 people in the bracket, like a small office pool, now I got to probably get a little bit, maybe I'll take a 2 seed to win it all, and I'll play all chalk, everything else. Don't have to do much. Don't have to pick upsets. Just have to basically stay chalk. But when we go to 100 people in a pool, now I can get a little creative. Now I can take, you know, a 3 seed and a 4 seed to both make the final four, for instance. Finally, when I'm playing millions of people in a bracket, well, now I'm going to have to do some really creative things to win that bracket, which means now I can pick 4 or 5 double-digit upsets, and I can take a 6 seed to win it all, something along those lines. I would say the number one mistake most people make, though, on their average office pools is they take too many upsets. I would say when in doubt, go ahead and look to play fewer upsets, and there's going to be upsets. The problem is, like every year, a 12 beats a 5. It's picking out which one is going to happen. That's the hard part.
That makes sense. That's interesting. So if you're just doing one-on-one, you just pick all the favorites. If it's only 10 people, still primarily favorites, but maybe mixing a little bit of flavor. Basically, the more people that are in it, if you're really trying to win the whole thing and not just have a solid performance or show well, you really need to make sure that you're creating a lot of variance in your bracket compared to others and hoping that it hits.
Yeah, so then you can play New Mexico to win it all. And you know what? If they do, now you're live, because there aren't going to be very many others out of that million people that are going to take the Lobos.
What about you, Steve, this time of year? You know, obviously, you're known as being primarily an NFL guy, but March Madness is hot right now. Like, what bets have you already made? What are you doing this week to prepare for March Madness? Will you fire a lot of, you know, single game bets on these games or not really?
Primarily single game bets. You know, one of the trends that has worked great, and there's a debate about why it's worked so well, first half unders in the tournament. Courtesy, I've got my numbers here. If you just played every first half under in the tournament, market numbers 187, 141, and 6 per Jared Smith, my friend. Why are first half unders, why have they been so good? Well, unfamiliar venue, really important game, big game with an unfamiliar shooting backdrop. I don't need to tell you, Ross, when you were shooting in your home gym, how much better your outside three-pointer shot was than when you went to even a different court. I know in Hoosiers they measure it. It's the same dimensions. For some reason, like having an unfamiliar backdrop, especially when there aren't fans in the stands, just makes it much more difficult. And these are critically important games, so teams play really hard on defense, and they look for better shot selection. So first half unders have been really good, but the market is aware of that, and we're seeing that on the first four in Dayton already. Money is pouring in on both games tonight on the first half under. I agree with both of them. By the way, that first four in Dayton is something special. No pro teams in Dayton. The Dayton Gems hockey team has been gone for 50 years, I think. So that's the only game in town is the Flyers, and they really support their basketball. It's really neat to go to a first four in Dayton, Ohio.
You know, it's just a quick aside, but I feel like Dayton and that area could do well if Dayton had a scholarship FCS team. I bet you people would start to go, or even an FBS team for football.
You know, and it's interesting because the Flyers have had a Division III football program that has been very successful and it's very well supported. So even the Dayton Dragons is like one of the best, you know, single A baseball. All their games are sold out in downtown Dayton. So a lot of good stuff in underrated Dayton, Ohio.
Any other bets that you really like for this upcoming weekend, Steve? Anything that we should know? Obviously, we can talk about the Sweet 16 and moving forward next week on next week's show. But you're curious about any other thoughts that jump out to you, if there's specific games or teams you like. Obviously, you like Auburn more than the committee.
Yes. As far as single bets, I think Drake closer to home. So Drake laying 1.5. I think sharp money was on Drake. I think that could be endorsed. I got to tell you, maybe I'm falling in love with this. We talk about the Dayton team. Dayton has a really big home court advantage. They're not as good historically on the road. And now they're playing in Salt Lake, elevation 4,400 feet. They're playing Nevada. Nevada's elevation in Reno, 4,350 feet. So the fact that the elevation's exactly the same, and teams oftentimes struggle in higher elevation, I can only look towards Nevada. I know, hey, Salt Lake isn't close to Reno, but it's a really, really easy flight. So because of that, I could only bet Reno in that game.
You know what isn't an easy flight, Steve? The red eye from Salt Lake City back to the East Coast, which I took last night and landed and came right into my home studio and started recording with you this morning. I will say this, the elevation is definitely a factor. We were all talking about it out there on our family vacation. There's no question in my mind that it is a factor. Well, it's going to be fun. Do you typically do pretty well, Steve, on March Madness?
You know, March Madness has historically been very good. And I don't want to just talk about winning because I want to talk, let me talk about losing. So for the year, I've worked my butt off betting college basketball. I give my clients market numbers and I'm just below 50%. So think about how bad that is. I mean, we're laying minus 110 on these plays and I haven't even hit 50%. And sometimes we're laying more than minus 110. So frankly, it's been a miserable college basketball season for me. I'm up 500 units since 2013 playing market numbers, and I'm down considerably playing basketball. Having said that, I've been on these first half unders, and I've been on these kind of hidden edges like Nevada has against Dayton historically, and I've done very well in the tournament. I had a friend, the Midnight Cowboy, once came out, and he bet for me like 8 years ago, and mostly playing like first half unders, things like that, and he had a historic run where he went like 17-2 on 19 bets. So knock on wood, let's have a huge tournament. And a lot of the sports books that don't really deal live wagering, DraftKings has always been great with it on all the games. But there's a lot of books that don't do that over the course of the season. Ross, they do it during March Madness. And you get, it's not unusual, you might get a situation where you'll have a game, one book will deal -8, and another book will be dealing +9. You get a lot of variation in lines. I love that when you're live betting, because think about it, the closer you are to the end of a game, the more important any variation in the line is. Much more likely a game lands on the middle when you're betting it with 6 minutes to play than at tip-off of the game.
Yeah, that was one of my big takeaways from our episode last week, was you just talking about the impact that live betting has had sort of reinvigorating your career after a couple of down years. You know what reinvigorates me, Steve? Eating delicious meat. That's what I'm into. And the Omaha Steaks semi-annual sale is here. Get 50% off site-wide and save on mouth-watering favorites today. Just go to omahasteaks.com and shop the semi-annual sale where you can load up on all the delicious flavor you crave at half the price. Listen, if you use my promo code EVEN at checkout, you'll get an extra $30 off your order. So save big on delicious, tender, juicy steaks, big beefy burgers, and so much more. The possibilities are endless. Endless flavor, endless value. Go to omahasteaks.com, shop the semi-annual sale. Don't forget to use promo code EVEN at checkout to get an extra $30 off your order. Hurry, because this deal won't last long. Kickstart your spring grilling season today. That's omahasteaks.com. Promo code EVEN at checkout. Minimum purchase may apply. Steve, you know the deal, by the way. You got to have something delicious while you're grilling. That's Labatt Blue Light. I'm a huge fan. Drink Labatt Blue Lights with your friends. Live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Ross, regarding Labatt Blue Light, how does Labatt, two questions, Labatt Blue Light, how does that go with skiing and altitude? That can be a that can be a dangerous combo, is it not?
If by dangerous you meant I just skied faster and better, then yes. then I'm Mr. Dangerous.
Second question, Omaha Steaks. This will be controversial. I'll say it. You know what? I'm always talking about, Ross, you and I, we get older. You've been great, slimming down, a lineman now, you know, at a svelte 245, staying in shape. But you know what? If you don't want to, like, cut weight, if you want to enjoy life, you know what? Be a little bit heavy. Do it eating good food. Don't just munch on Doritos and pretzels. Get the Omaha Steaks and live large.
I like it, Steve. I like it. I also like your season win total changes. I don't know if we'll get to all of them on today's episode, but obviously we are a week into NFL free agency, more or less. And Steve sent me his February season win total numbers for each team. Steve does his own lines and then his March. So I want to talk about some of the teams that really jumped out to me, Steve. And obviously, by far, the biggest line move. I mean, you moved several teams half a game one way or whatever. not Minnesota, not Atlanta. You took Atlanta from an 8 to a 9.5. You took the Vikings from an 8 to a 6.5. Obviously, this is the Kirk Cousins factor, Steve, and this is by far the biggest swing in any of these team season win totals. You obviously are higher on Kirk Cousins than I guess the media is or the fans are, or I don't know.
Well, the media and the fans have to evaluate things in terms of long term. So do you really want to pay Cousins $45 million 3 years from now? Me, I'm like a goldfish, Ross. I don't do long-term projections. I can barely remember things 30 minutes from now, and certainly only for one season is all I care about. And so for one season, I have a situation where a month ago, the Vikings had a very capable above-average quarterback for this coming year, and Atlanta did not. Now, the roles have been reversed. So think about this. So Atlanta, they were staring at a quarterback that was like 3 points worse than an average quarterback. Now I have Kirk Cousins, 1 point better than an average quarterback. That's a 4 point difference multiplied by 17 games. That's a net point differential upgrade of 68 points for the Falcons. It seems like it should be less, but it turns out 35 points equates to one win in the NFL. So if you're going to be 70 points better, that's two extra wins. So if the Falcons, without Kirk Cousins, were going to win 7.5, now they're going to win 9.5, and that's what my current season win number is for the Falcons.
So I guess you need to explain to me, how do you figure out that 35 points equals one win in the NFL?
Just historically, if you look at the point differential for the average team that outscores their opponents by 35 points. Now, I thought it would be better than, this was back when it was a 16-game record. I thought most of those teams would be like 10-6. Turns out, no. They usually finish right around 9-7. They pick up, for every 35 points they pick up, they would be one game over 500. If you were 70 points above 500, then you'd be about a 9-6, then you'd be like a 10-6 team. And like an elite team that was like a 12-4 typically would outscore their opponents by about 140 points.
So it looks to me like you got Atlanta winning that division now, Steve, and you've got Minnesota in the basement of their division. That's a big move for both those teams.
Yeah, so I dropped the Vikings down to 6.5, and I'm curious, you know, whenever you make big adjustments, you always wonder, did it make too much of an adjustment, too little of an adjustment? All things being equal against the Steve Fezzik Sportsbook, I'm giving you the opportunity, Ross. Atlanta's 9.5. The Vikings are 6.5. Do you like anything at those numbers?
Ooh, that's a good question. Minnesota's tough because we need to know what's going to happen with their quarterback position. I don't like Sam Darnold to win 7 or more. And I think they're going to draft a rookie quarterback. And I think Darnold's only going to play the first however many games until whichever quarterback they draft when they try to move up to get one of these guys until he's ready. And maybe, by the way, the rookie starts right away. And, you know, it's funny because I know you always bet against rookie quarterbacks, which has been very good, except for C.J. Stroud last year. So there's a chance that one of these guys are C.J. Stroud, but, man, even just looking at all these guys, Kenny Pickett and Justin Fields, all these guys moving around, you know, you're better off betting against these guys than betting on them. It definitely seems, Steve, anecdotally, like more of these guys disappoint than exceed expectations like Stroud did.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And there's survivor bias because you forget about all the rookies that – absolutely, like the UCLA quarterback that was just terrible that played for Arizona, Miami. I can't even remember his name anymore.
Josh Rosen.
Yes, 11th pick in the draft. Thank you. You know, I want to ask you about Fields because I was as shocked as anyone that he had no market value, basically. They're just giving him away for a 6/4th round pick. You know, where would you have Fields in your quarterback rankings? And is this also a reflection of the market seems to have soured on running quarterbacks? Lamar Jackson's been the exception, but so many running quarterbacks, you don't want to give a second contract to, because just inevitably it seems like they're one injury away from just not being very good at all. Your thoughts on that?
Well, that's one of the other season win totals that you moved, Steve. You had Pittsburgh 8.5 in February. Now you have them 9. So I think most people would say, Steve, that Justin Fields and Russell Wilson are both upgrades over Kenny Pickett. And I'd probably agree with that. And yet you only move the Steelers up half a game. So what you're telling me, you're telling us, is you don't think that Russell Wilson / Fields is really that much better than Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, I had Pickett like a -2, and it's an upgrade with either one of these guys, but I don't see it. I don't see either one of those quarterbacks, Russell Wilson or Fields, as being an average starting NFL quarterback, which would be Kyler Murray or Purdy or Mayfield. So if it's only like a 1 point upgrade, maybe it should be 1.5. But if it's a 1 point upgrade, that's 17 points. That's half a game. So boom, I brought Pittsburgh up from 8.5 to 9. I also think there could be a little bit of a quarterback controversy. What's going to happen? Russell Wilson's going to start. I don't think he's going to be that good. And now both guys are going to be looking over their shoulders. I don't think it's necessarily a good situation.
We're also, Steve, going to get into more of some of these season win totals that you've moved from February to March. We'll do that next week, in addition to some of your Sweet 16 games as well, because some of these other line moves I'm seeing are pretty interesting. But we do want to, in the offseason, get to some email questions from people that take advantage of any of our sponsors or just rate and review the show. What an opportunity. Any theory, any philosophy, anything you don't understand, any question you've ever had for Steve, you can ask. Just email me, ross@rostucker.com. Make sure you put in the subject line Even Money Podcast or question for Steve, and make sure you rate and review the show or take advantage of one of the sponsors, Omaha Steaks or westshorehome.com/Ross, whatever. So you go to the top of the queue. Keith, another loyal listener, says, "Hey, Ross, thank you for your versatility with your entertaining podcasts. Never a dull moment. Can you or Steve please explain round-robin betting and the advantages, disadvantages?" So this comes up a lot with my teasers during the season, Steve, where I will round robin a lot of the teasers. And really, I do that because I like all of them and because I don't know which one might not make it. And so I'd rather round robin them because I feel good about them and have 4 of the 5 hit or whatever.
Yeah, it's a great question. So let me address it. Teasers and parlays. Teasers, you nailed it. You round robin or you wheel them, and then you go ahead, and if you have 5 teasers that you like, all as 6-point teasers, then you're going to have, the math is you're going to have 5 factorial divided by 2 factorial, 3 factorial, 10 different combinations, each weighted the same. You just want to be careful not to do something like put 2 units on each one of those, because any one team, now you're going to be wagering 8 units on them effectively. So you don't want to spike way through your normal risk tolerance. I want to address, if you're playing sides and you decide to play round robin parlays, very important, and people do this during the NCAA tournament, you cannot play at most sports books 4 and 5 team parlays because you get short paid excessively. The 10 teamer, the 4 teamer only pays 11-1, the 5 teamer 20-1. And if that's the payouts at your books, which is the common payout, you're getting so short paid, you're paying extra vig. Cannot do that. You can round robin in 2s and 3s. And as it turns out, a quirk of the math, Ross, the 2-teamer pays 13-5. You're getting slightly short paid playing 2 teamers. But when you play 3-team parlays, and say if you have 5 teams you like and you wheel them in 3-team parlays, the 3-team parlay pays 6-1. You're actually, we talk about how the mechanical parlay will pay more typically. It doesn't in this case. In this case, the 3-team parlay, if you bet 100, it pays 600. If you played the mechanical parlay, it would only pay 596. So you're laying slightly under, I know, ugly, warning, math, The three-team parlay, you're laying just under minus 110. So the way to go, if you want to play this exciting parlay route, is to play three-team parlays. The two-team parlays, you're laying like minus 111.5. So three-team parlay, 6-1 is the way to go.
Absolutely love when Steve does the math thing and when he answers your questions. Keep them coming, and good luck this weekend. Hope you guys win some money.
Thanks for tuning in to Even Money. Make sure to also check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.